Well, welcome everybody to the interview of the week here on KTH 910 AM. We're glad you're listening. Thank you for listening, supporting this station, and also for your support of not only Guadalupe Radio Network, but we always say support our sponsors and also support the people who are doing great work, great apostolates and great ministries across North Texas as well. And that's one of the things that we like to do on this program is introduce you to people who need your support and also just to make you aware of the other things that are going on across North Texas and around the world in this case. For the third time coming back for the interview of the week, I guess I'm not mistreating him enough. He just keeps coming back for more. But we are delighted to invite back Jacob Niemeyer, founder, executive director, Vera Aqua, Vera Vita. As I said in the first two, a unique apostolate. This is something that I just think it's brilliant that, and it's solving such an important need across the world right now. And Jacob, as I said, is the founder and executive director of this group, and they are located at veraaquaveravita.org. Their mission statement: by tapping into the physical and spiritual nature of water, we empower people and communities in developing countries to generate clean water and sanitation solutions that bring true water, true life to people across the world. So Jacob, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me back for the third time. The holy number, the Trinity.
That's right. This one visits. Better be good, huh? And you're going to have your speakeasy event later in the year, and I'm sure you'll be back to talk about that.
Yes.
Right? All right. So we have talked about your work in Monte Castillo, Peru, and phase one is done and you're on to phase two. Is that right?
Give
us an update of what's going on. Or maybe more about just the mission other than that brief mission
statement.
Yeah,
of course. I can kind of take it and run with that. Phase one, which just for a reminder for all those that are listening, was a water treatment facility that has actually now completed construction, and they're doing trial operations, and they're going to commence official full operations starting here in early March, so about a month from now. And it's really interesting that I'm actually going to be getting to travel back down there to see some of that in operation and be in solidarity with the community and make sure that things are going smoothly as we transition to full operations and the community taking over ownership of that facility. So that's a huge success for us. That was kind of our big goal and milestone of last year, was to accomplish that. And just to see that coming to fruition for the people of Monte Castillo is incredible. That facility is going to be able to provide clean water to 7,000 people in the community, and an ever-growing community that is suffering from lack of access to water. That's going to be an incredible change in their lives. And so one of the things that we're also doing in Monte Castillo is, and we've already begun this work, is phase two, which is going to be some comprehensive infrastructure improvement. So we're looking at improving and overhauling, if you will, their existing water and wastewater systems. So we're talking their piping mostly, but also there's some improvements that need to be made to elevated storage tank, in addition to what we would call a treatment lagoon, for lack of a technical term. It's basically two ponds where they treat the wastewater that comes out of the community, and that needs to be improved. So we've actually partnered with a local contractor consultant in Peru. So one of the things that we're all about, as you can tell from a mission statement, is empowering. And part of that empowerment approach is we need to work with the local organization so that we are empowering them economically and also in solidarity with them. So it's not like that we're saying that you're not capable. We're actually going to work alongside them instead of bringing outside help and foreign aid, which sometimes can make those organizations that already do work in their respective countries feel kind of demeaned or lesser, incapable, and we definitely don't want to convey that message. So we partner with Standard 10 is the name of the organization in Peru, and they're doing right now, they're in the community improving the wastewater system. So they've been cleaning the wastewater lines and also televising, inspecting those lines, in addition to doing some, I would basically call it routine maintenance, rehab, and repair of some manhole and manhole tops. And the work that they've accomplished so far has cost us about $12,000 that we paid them to do. And there's about 7,000 linear meters of wastewater system piping in the community. And so they're going to have to finish up that work. And at the end product is going to be a bunch of data and a report for us that we can build our plan to improve the situation in the community. And in addition to that, we have to cover the remainder of their costs of work. They're doing it in good faith that we're going to pay them at the end of this process, hence the campaign that we have now to raise $10,000 by March 15th to ensure that we can pay them for the extent of their work.
Yeah. All right. So we can invite people to support you, and we'll give you everybody information about how they can do that. And I'm sure you can do it through the website, right?
Yes.
VeraAquaVeraVita.org.
Or actually, even better for you, Dave, GiveTrueWater.org. We've simplified. Yeah. So now that we have a very catchy, memorable name.
Yeah.
That
because remember last interview I was saying, oh, that's Spanish, and you're like, no, that's actually Latin. And so so some of us are not so language equipped. And so we do invite people to support this mission. And you know, I was just thinking of like I think it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. You know, where you know, at the very bottom, you know, we need air, we need water, we need food, we need sleep. And so, you know, some of us like to go out, you know, go to movies or maybe have a drink or, you know, the, kind of these luxuries. Mm-hmm. This is just basic sustenance. Necessities. And if somebody doesn't have clean water, I mean, they could get very sick, possibly mm-hmm. die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, living in a country like the United States, we don't now always think about just clean water, but this is, you know, so basic. Mm-hmm. And you're providing such a basic need that sometimes we don't even think about.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you really take an opportunity, and this is, I encourage all the listeners to do this too, just think about all the ways that you personally use water on a daily basis, mm-hmm. not just drinking. You'd be amazed at how many parts of your life require water.
Yeah.
And project that, you know, to a whole population and industry and production of products, and you can very quickly see that water is critical to economy. It's critical to having an opportunity to thrive in life. And for billions of people around the world, they don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them are struggling daily just to get a supply of water that's not even clean most of the time. And unfortunately, that's an all too common problem in Monte Castillo, where we're working, and in much of the developing world, where there are people actually traveling sometimes up to a couple miles, 3 or 4 miles a day. Oftentimes, women and children are the ones that bear this burden to gather their water mm-hmm. that's not even clean.
Yeah.
And then to top that all off, they don't have the proper disposal systems to handle their waste, right? So they don't have running, you know, water, so they can't flush their toilets.
Yeah.
They don't have, sometimes they don't even have a toilet. If they do, it's more of a latrine or a what would you call an outhouse, for lack of a better term. And so many of these people often resort to open defecation, which is basically just going on the ground, mm-hmm. You know, old school way, right? And so that's one of the problems that we're also seeing in Monte Castillo. We're seeing a super majority of the people open defecate, oftentimes right next to their water source. So it creates a kind of a problem cycle, a
health
cycle
hazard,
of problem.
Yeah, correct. For sure. Yeah.
Not to mention, even when they, in this case in Monte Castillo, they do have about 60% of the households do have toilets because of some work that the municipal government had done there. But when they do get running water, which they get about every 3 days from a groundwater well that's unfortunately contaminated, so they can't really drink it, but they can use that to flush their toilets, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It actually, because the system is in such disrepair, it actually backs up into the street when they flush their toilets and into people's houses. So that's an environmental and a health hazard well.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, the next phase of our work is starting with this wastewater system improvement work and cleaning out the pipes, inspecting them, and looking at areas that they're going to need to be improved. Because when it comes down to it, right, we have to change the trajectory of this community. Mm-hmm. And as important it is for us to give them clean water, which is really important, which is why it was our first phase of work there, it's just as important that we continue that process so that we're fixing the next step in the cycle, so to speak, which is the wastewater system, because otherwise we're going to, the contamination of their drinking water is going to cause issues because they don't have the proper wastewater systems in place, and that's going to cause health issues and environmental issues. And really, it's all about that holistic approach. It kind of, for us, it goes back to this mentality that in order for a person to thrive as God intended them to, we need to have our basic resources met. Those base level things, like you mentioned, Dave, are so important. And that's really where we can begin to see someone thrive and empower them. And that's kind of what leads us into what one thing that we're really excited about this year, which is we're going to be implementing our education curriculum, which part of that is WASH, sanitation. WASH is an acronym that means water, sanitation, and hygiene. And that's going to be educating the community at large in a workshop format, a 2 to 3 day workshop format on water, sanitation, hygiene issues. But in addition to that is what I think is probably the most unique and most incredible about our mission and our approach to the global water crisis, which is the spiritual aspect, the living water. And we're going to be bringing that to them in the medium of the theology of the body.
Oh, wow.
And so that's something that we're really excited about this
Catholic.
Year.
Authentically Catholic. And because, you know, when you're struggling with the basic needs of food and water, it's hard to give glory to God. Mm-hmm. It's hard to think about God. It's hard to pray because you're just like trying to take care of your family and get some clean water. So yeah, get those immediate needs done. Jacob Niemeyer is my guest, founder and executive director of Vera Aqua Vera Vita. See, there
I
go.
It's complicated, isn't it?
GiveTrueWater.org. Let's just go with that one. It's the same website, right? Just two, you know, you got the Latin and then the English.
Correct. Okay, we have a number of domains that you can...
All right. And he is talking about phase two of their work in Monte Castillo, Peru, a water treatment facility, also a fundraising campaign. They're trying to raise $10,000. And I find that very modest, you know, for something this big to raise $10,000. That should be nothing. And this is going to fund ongoing efforts for their phase two of their work in Monte Castillo, waterway system improvements. They got to do it by March 15th. So if you want to donate, go to givetruewater.org. Is there going to be a phase three, or is this going to kind of close you out there?
Well, it'll be curious to see how phase two goes. As is kind of mentioned in that little spiel that you just gave, the comprehensive infrastructure improvements starts with the wastewater system, but also their water system in terms of their piping is also in major disrepair. So with the water treatment facility, that's... going to be going into operation here in the next month or so, that's going to be an at-source like collection point. So there's going to be a building where the water is treated and people are going to come and get water right there from like a spigot, a tap. Imagine a hose tap that you may have at your house, right, outside your house. That's where people can come and get their water. But they do have a water piping system that was installed and constructed by the municipality, unfortunately. It's in incredible disrepair. We don't know exactly to the extent that is, but we know based on some water quality testing that we've done throughout the community and at their source that kind of runs the water through that piping system, which is a groundwater well, we know that there is contamination happening along that system, in that system, because we tested the water at the groundwater well and it came back negative for the majority of contaminants. It was unfortunately saline. Salty, so that's unfortunately an issue that we have to deal with. But then we know that there's more than likely collapsed pipe, cracked pipe, broken pipe, because when we tested in the system itself and the piping throughout the community, we had pretty high results for biological contaminants and as well as some heavy metal contaminants, which are extra bad because it's...
Can you you mentioned a moment ago about incorporating theology of the body into this, you know, kind of overarching work that you're doing there. Can you give me an example, or how will that be incorporated?
Yeah, so it's something that we're developing right now. We're really excited about this with the whole idea of water being, you know, basic right to life, the physical aspect of water. We can immediately redirect that idea and kind of piggyback off that idea as, well, if physical water is a necessity of a thriving life, then from a spiritual perspective, then the living water is also a necessity of a thriving life. And the beauty of theology of the body is it connects the two, right?
Yeah.
That we are not indistinct and separate. And so that's kind of something that we're developing, is to merge those two ideas into a workshop. So as we teach them about the importance of proper hygiene and not, you know, contaminating their water and ensuring that they have proper water to drink, we can also teach them about, well, how does that relate to your spirit? Because your body and your soul are not distinct.
Mm-hmm.
In and of themselves, they are united as one. We are incarnate beings.
Yeah.
And to kind of redirect that idea that, like, the body speaks a language because mm-hmm. the body is created by God incarnate.
Have you been talking to Monica Ashour?
Yeah. Yes, I love Monica, actually.
And
she's great.
Yeah, and it also, you know, I'm a big fan of Thomas Aquinas, and of course he talks about the composite, and, you know, you separate the soul and the body, and it's no longer a human being. Right. I mean, it's a separated soul and a corpse, and so it's so important to keep those integrated. All right, I'm gonna have a pun here, so pun alert. you know, you're dealing with 7,000 people in Monte Castillo, Peru is, you know, a drop in the bucket, there's your pun, in relation to all the need in the whole world, you know, but you got to start somewhere and so I'm just curious, you know, as you help these 7,000 folks in this community, do you have your sights maybe in some other spots? And God bless you for what you're doing, but there's probably other places saying, come here next. I mean, is 2019 going to be kind of focused on this particular community, or do you have sights elsewhere?
Yeah. And that kind of gets back to your question about phase 2 and phase 3. So phase 2, I think, will be the extent of our work in Monte Castillo.
Okay.
Completing those comprehensive infrastructure improvements and education. And if we're being honest, it's probably likely that that's going to be the majority of our work this year in 2019 is in Monte Castillo, because that's a pretty significant undertaking. But we do have sights set on other communities in Peru that have expressed interest and want to receive the same services that we're being able to provide to Monte Castillo, as well as from a visionary perspective and connections of communities that need help. Haiti is kind of the next target for us. And so I have some connections in Haiti that we're going to try to hopefully build relationships with and hopefully foster an opportunity to find a project that we can work on in Haiti.
The website is givetruewater.org, or if you want to be fancy and do the Latin, veraaquaveravita.org. If you
want to challenge
yourself, that's right. Maybe the first time I've ever gotten that right. I'm a givetruewater.org type. Just a couple minutes remaining. Jacob Niemeyer is my guest, founder, executive director of Vera Aqua Vera Vita. How can people help? Obviously, you need the $10,000 by March 15th. People may be listening thinking, boy, I'd like to go out there and work on the ground. Maybe I'm an engineer or a doctor, you know, who knows, a water facility expert. Do you need volunteers? Do you need board members? How can people help you overall?
I'm actually really glad that you asked that last question, Dave, because yes, we're actually looking for volunteers, particularly, as you mentioned, almost in a sense, missionary volunteers. Mm-hmm. We're going to actually be taking a mission trip down to Peru in the second half of this year to implement our education curriculum, as I've already mentioned. And so there's also going to be opportunities for engineers, if they're interested, to give of their services, because we're going to be doing some design and assessment work to do the phase 2 of the comprehensive infrastructure improvement. So great opportunities to connect with us if you want to volunteer your time. And if you get on our website, it's very easy to do that. There's a Get Connected page, and you can fill out a form to volunteer with us. And then once we get your form, we'll be in touch and we'll coordinate from there.
People bring kids? Is this something where you can bring the whole family, or just looking for professionals?
No, you could bring your whole family as well. I think there's going to be opportunity, not just from a education perspective, but also from, we want to be able to engage the whole community.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is engaging the youth.
Yeah.
And nothing makes it easier to engage a child than another child.
Yeah, right, right. Because I'm just thinking about our own family. I don't think this year works out because we're going to Ireland in the summer.
Oh, and it's just
a little too much international travel, perhaps. Yeah. But down the road, if you're still doing this next year, I'm very interested because I think it'd be a great opportunity for families to expose their kids to the, you know, the other side and what, you know, the needs, you know, beyond, you know, whether I can't download that app on my iPhone, then that's ruining my day, you know. But some people just don't even have the basic necessities of life. And you're doing great work, and I appreciate you coming out here a third time now. Did we nail it this third time?
The trinity of times. I don't know.
And hopefully there will be a fourth as well. Jacob Niemeyer, again, founder, executive director, VeraAqua, VeraVita.org. I'm getting it. I'm getting it down. GiveTrueWater.org. Please donate. Please support them. Like I said, they always have an event in the fall. And so a lot going on. And this is really on the kind of the ground level right now. This is a group. I'm sure you're going to be doing this your whole life. And it's such an amazing
that's
work.
That's the plan, God willing.
Anything else before we say goodbye to you?
Yeah, I do want to add one other thing. You mentioned, are we looking for a board member? And yes, we actually are looking for one more board member.
Okay.
Someone who has a passion and a heart for our mission and is great at fundraising.
Okay.
We're actually looking for a kind of a development type person be on our board.
Okay. Well, hopefully that person's listening right now.
Listening, let me know.
It's a volunteer position, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right. So just go to that website, givetruewater.org or VeraAquaVeraVita.org. My guest has been Jacob Niemeyer, founder, executive director. You can learn all about their mission and the great work that they're doing, especially right now in Peru. If you go to those websites, thank you to Cecil Anderson, our board op. Thank you for listening. And, you know, Jacob's been so good about emailing me whenever something new is coming up and saying, hey, can I come back in for an interview? It makes my job easier than having to run around and hunt who wants to talk. So if you have an idea or something that's going on here locally or around the world, as long as there's a local angle, you know, Jacob's a local North Texas guy, email me and I'd love to talk to you as well. If it's Catholic and has a local angle, it fits this program. Dave Palmer at grnonline.com. Thanks and God bless you.